You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
On today's podcast, Bubba Carpenter's in studio. We'll talk Razorback baseball, another series loss this time to Florida. What went wrong for the Razorbacks? We'll look ahead to this week's Series 2 against Missouri State and Texas. But first, a word from Kendall King.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
You know, a lot of coaches say this is Arkansas's best team that maybe Dave Van Horn has had, or certainly one of the best. And you hear it, and we'll play a clip a little bit later from Kevin O'Sullivan, who said something similar yesterday. But you hear it unprovoked from Wes Johnson, from Kevin O'Sullivan, from Michael Early last week. And I guess maybe sometimes it's easier to say it when your team wins to compliment your opponent. And I go there to say, I never thought we would be comparing anything that happened in 2025 to 2016, but that was the last time that Arkansas lost three series in a row. Just kind of goes to show you how rare of a stretch the Razorbacks are on here, that it's been 9 years since they lost three in a row, losing to Florida 9-5 on Sunday to drop the series. And Bubba, these last three series, they've all gone to a rubber game, and the rubber games are just bouncing the wrong way for the Razorbacks. What did you see this weekend? And maybe more in general, what are you seeing in these games three that are not allowing them to finish off the series?
Well, to your first point, when that many people, like, we've had a lot of great teams here at Arkansas, but I don't remember this many SEC coaches saying this is the best team. Like you said, a lot of coaches will just say it because that's the nice thing to do.
It's unprovoked. And that's what the interesting thing was with O'Sullivan yesterday, was that it was just him saying this. It was not, hey, coach, tell us what you think about Arkansas. I mean, and obviously, you know, he's not the – He's one of the more pricklier, I guess, coaches, you know, a little more rough around the edges.
Yeah.
And so for him to give that kind of, you know, saying, I just thought it was kind of interesting, especially in light of the fact that Arkansas had lost their third series in a row.
Yeah. And I think him and DVH have a really good relationship. Yep. But I think him saying that unprovoked says a lot about this team. And he's not the only coach that said it. And there are a lot of people out there, you know, a lot of the national guys that have looked at our team and said, this is the best team we have. But to your question about what went wrong in the rubber game, I think you have to backtrack a day and say, well, what went wrong on Saturday? Mm-hmm. And you can even go a day farther and go back to Friday. But for me, I think the key to the series is Gackle not being able to finish the game on Saturday. Got a 6-0 lead. If he can finish that game on Saturday, we don't have to use Jimenez. You know, we already got him up twice. I mean, I understand it completely. A lot of people question, well, why did they bring him in? You already got him up twice. You got to bring him in the game then. But boy, if Gackle could have finished that game on Saturday, we have Jimenez for Sunday, and I think we win the series. You know, but you can look at a lot of things. I think game one turned on the bad pickoff. I mean, you could. It's a series that if you really look at it, it's that what if thing. You know, mm-hmm. What if this play didn't happen? What if that swing didn't happen? And it totally changes the series. It's crazy.
And you think about Gackle, maybe even if he doesn't finish the game, maybe if he can go one more inning.
Yeah.
Maybe you go to somebody else in that situation.
Yeah. Just get us to a position where, you know, we can go to a McIntyre, or, you know, we'd already use Fouch and Dylan Carter on Friday. Mm-hmm. They're both good on Friday. You know, you just needed a little bit more from Gackle. And he wasn't bad. He just wasn't sharp. You know, in the inning they pull him, you know, I think he walked two guys in mm-hmm. a row. And, you know, you get to the point where in the SEC, a team like Florida can strike really quick. So you can't wait too long to make that move. In a perfect world, yeah, you try to give him one more hitter to see if he can figure it out, get a double play ball. But you just can't take that chance.
Well, and he had done that an inning earlier in the game, I think in the fifth inning. Arkansas scored a bunch of runs, and then he comes back out and he's not anything – you know, looking like what he did in the fourth inning. And I think he had walked a couple, maybe hit a batter, and they get a double play that changes that inning. But to your point, with a lineup as good as Florida's is, you can't rely on that to happen multiple times.
Yeah, and if our backs were against the wall, Jimenez would have come back on Sunday. He could have pitched again, but there's no need to. We need him healthy at the end of the season when it really matters, and I think that's the key. If I think you look at Florida, look at the way they use Clemente. Threw him a lot on Friday, threw him a lot on Sunday. I mean, he threw 67 pitches yesterday. He threw 30-something on 31. Friday. Didn't throw a ton, but, you know, that's a team that their back's against the wall. They got to have wins. We don't. And I think we've gone all in, and you and I can talk more about it later, but we've gone all in for years to win the conference. Now that's just a big mess of 16 teams. Really, honestly, does winning the conference mean anything anymore? With no divisions, to me, I don't care about it. All I'm looking forward to postseasons. Yeah, you want to win series, but I'm ready for postseason.
I had a conversation with Dave Van Horn before the season as we were putting together our preview magazine, and he actually made a similar comment. He said, you know, we've gone all in to win these conferences, you know, to how many times they've won it, and, you know, they've been right there another time or two. And, you know, it was basically, you know, maybe we don't do that this year. And I'm not saying that's what they're doing. It was just a conversation that we had where, you know, and it was within the framework of talking about maybe what has gone wrong in the regionals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe they've put too much emphasis on being whatever in the regular season. So it's certainly an interesting conversation to have, and we'll have a little bit more of that here in just a second. Dave Van Horn talked to reporters after the loss yesterday, and this is what he had to say about what's going wrong for his team.
Well, we just have to get better at a few things. You know, number one, we got to have a little better clutch hitting. Left too many runners out there, and kind of the same thing happened on Friday, and you know, Friday we struck out too many times, kind of corrected that last couple of days, but couldn't really get the big hit, you know. So that happened, you know, he kind of runs in streaks a little bit, but, you know, starting pitching, got to get better, got to show us a little more. And, you know, that'd be the two things that jump out at me right away.
So Dave Van Horn, when you hear him say that, your thoughts?
Well, I thought there were multiple balls that we hit that were really close to either going over the fence or getting in a gap. I thought we had opportunities with runners on base. And sometimes you tip your hat to the pitcher. I thought the Florida pitchers, when they really needed a big pitch, they dialed up a big pitch. And I thought we missed some pitches that we should have hammered. I thought we hit some balls hard that they caught, you know, right against the fence. I know we had several guys just miss a home run. But I think a lot of it, Matt, we got to get better starting pitching. I mean, we really do. I mean, Zach, I still think you go back to that pickoff play. Without that pickoff play, I think that kind of changed things. He wasn't the same after that, and something like that can affect you. And I think Dave said something. You'd almost rather give up a home run than a pick throw to first, and a guy scores with two outs. I mean, that's just a tough way to give up a run. But we got to have more than four innings on Friday night. You know, you really do. And then on Sunday, you got to get more than two out of your Sunday starter. And I get it. We knew going in, Florida had a powerful lineup. I knew it was going to be – I thought it was going to be a high-scoring series. I thought we would outslug them. I just think that Florida pitching did pitch better than what I anticipated.
I was listening to Kevin O'Sullivan yesterday, and, you know, there were two times during the game where he goes out and he makes a pitching change with a 2-0 count. And he said, if you follow me throughout my entire career, I have never done that, or I have rarely done that. And he said, and I think it just goes to show you the urgency with which we had to approach this game. This was, you know, like it or not, this was a much bigger series to Florida than it was to Arkansas. Arkansas, they got some feathers in their cap. They've beaten Vanderbilt. They've beaten Ole Miss. They got three more attempts to beat good teams coming up. You know, sometimes you just run into a team and you're on their home field and they just want it more. And that's what it looked like yesterday. Florida, they wanted it more. And to O'Sullivan's point, he coached with an urgency. And I thought there were two or three times throughout the series where, whether it be going and getting Luke McNeely after he faced two batters on Friday after Justin Thomas homered against him, or yesterday they go get Christian Rodriguez whenever it's you know, very apparent Arkansas is on him. Even the starting pitcher, they had a quick hook for him. You know, I thought that he approached this series from a pitching standpoint about as well as you could from a, you know, I know he's the pitching coach and the head coach, but just from a coaching standpoint, he approached it about as well as he could pitching wise.
Yeah, and I think all of his decisions, you know, he was fortunate. Most of them paid off. But that's the difference in a team that's their backs against the wall and they got to have a win versus a team. And we're not trying to lose, but I think if you flip that and our backs against the wall, we played a little different. But I still say the thing I love about this team, Matt, we're in every game. Even, mm-hmm. you know, you look at yesterday. I mean, you get the tying run up with one out, bases loaded, you know, one of our best RBI guys. I mean, you feel really good about it. You know, you just couldn't get that big hit when you needed. Cujillo had a great at bat, ended up striking out, but 10 pitch at bat, I think. We're giving ourselves a chance to win, and we're not even playing our best baseball. We're not even close to playing our best baseball, and so I still feel real good about it.
I just thought Florida, and they're like A&M. They're figuring themselves out. Like they had the talent. Some teams figure themselves out at different times in the year because some teams go through their struggles. And I feel like you don't figure yourself out until you've struggled a little bit.
Right.
Like Texas, and we'll get into Texas a little bit here in a minute. They haven't struggled yet. They haven't figured themselves out yet, I don't feel like.
Yeah.
You know, Arkansas in 21, they never really struggled. Then, you know, when the struggles came against NC State, it just didn't work out and a couple of close losses. Florida and A&M, they struggled early. And now they've figured a lot out about themselves. Even A&M this weekend going to Texas, they were swept, but it was 3 one-run games. Those were all very competitive games. Now you got Arkansas, and I would even put Tennessee in this boat because, you know, they're going through some – they're taking their lumps a little bit. What did they learn about themselves during this stretch, and are they able to learn and apply what they've learned as the postseason comes along? Because I don't think Arkansas is a bad team. I don't think Tennessee is a bad team. I just think this is baseball that you run into a stretch of games where you just don't play your best. I thought I was watching Tennessee LSU the other night, and I can't remember if it was Dave Neal or if it was Todd Walker who made this comment, but it was one of them, and they were talking to each other about it. They said, you know, you can go through a bad 10-game stretch and still be a good team. Still be a national seed, all these different things. You can't go through two of these 10-game stretches. And so I think that's what's key now. Arkansas, they've had their stretch. What do they do with that moving forward?
Well, we got to get better.
Yeah.
I mean, but there's such a small margin for error in the SEC. You referred to the Texas sweep. Everything went their way. Late in those games, everything went their way. I mean, you know, A&M, you know, we say it about Arkansas all the time, like one swing could have changed that game, just one pitch. I mean, that could have been the opposite. You know, A&M could have swept Texas. But back on our team, I think it's just a matter of continuing to get better. I think Maxwell being out of lineup was a huge hit to the team, just like Souza was. But I think when Maxwell came out, there's a little hole there in right field. You know, I think Carson Bowles come in and did a good job. You know, Kendall's still struggling a little bit, but you got to have production out of your outfielder. Your outfielders have to drive in runs. You know, I think it goes back to you got Gage Wood getting healthy. Gage looked awesome, by the way. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fastball was electric. Hit 98 multiple times. Just they couldn't catch up to it. I think you get Parker Quill back. Hopefully Dietz get healthy and get in there. I mean, I'm still 100% in on this team. I think this is a team that when postseason rolls around, you don't want to play us. And what we got to do in the meantime is just keep going out and getting better and getting that big hit, which we've done up mm-hmm. until this point in the season. We're in a little bit of a funk right now, but I think the injuries have something to do with it.
Do you think the quality of at-bats have decreased in the last couple, 3 weeks?
I think we have ups and downs. I think we get a big lead, and then we don't – I don't want to say we're giving away at-bats. I don't think we're locked in as much. Mm. But, you know, we'll have a big inning, and then the next four innings are zeros. Mm-hmm. And I think we're not stringing together good innings. We have that one big inning. Like Florida gave us some runs there. You got to admit, that one inning was ugly. They gave us some runs, but we took advantage of it. That's what good teams do. Now we have to keep building on that and not shut it down after that one big inning. Let's try scoring. It's sort of like Florida did yesterday. They just kept scoring on us. I mean, we couldn't keep them from scoring. They scored almost every inning except one. That's what we need to get back to.
And they did that for a good portion of the year.
Right.
Dave Van Horn talked about the offense yesterday after the game, and this is what he had to say.
You know, you can't just sit around and hope you hit the ball out of the park. You gotta hit some singles every now and then. And there were a couple of times we needed singles. We didn't need to be, you know, swinging for the fence. And we've done a pretty good job with that this year, fighting with two strikes, getting pitchers' pitch counts up, and maybe hitting a single here and there. But, you know, give Florida credit. They came out and they just outplayed us today.
And, you know, and he mentioned another point during yesterday's Zoom that it felt like they kind of waited around till the eighth and the ninth inning to do this. You know, they got some hits in the eighth inning. They got some hits in the ninth. They had a home run taken away. I mean, you saw the play. Hayden Yost made an incredible catch at the center field wall to take one away from Kahia Waloy. Justin Thomas, obviously, you know, real close to hitting a game-tying home run there. And sometimes that's just how the breaks work. I think maybe the concern that I see with this team is they get the big inning, and you touched on this, but they get the big inning, and then they don't get hardly anything else the rest of the game. I mean, think about Saturday. They've got a 6-run inning. They scored one run the rest of the game. So, in you know, the other 8 innings, they score one time. Yesterday, 9 innings at the plate, they only score in one of those innings. They've got to do a better job of forcing some of these pitchers not to be able to get into such a groove, because that's kind of what it felt like the difference in this series was Florida's pitchers, they all kind of, or the ones who went for very long at all, they all kind of got into a groove. Even Philpott yesterday, who, you know, he struggles the first inning that he comes in, all of a sudden he's back in the dugout really quick in the third and fourth innings. And in the game, just, you could kind of slowly feel the momentum turn in the game.
Yeah, and if you compare it to what the Florida hitters do, I mean, they got a great lineup up and down. Mm-hmm. You know, they kind of ground ball to right, you know, line drive to right, ground ball in the hole to the left side. When we made a mistake with a pitch, they hit it. You know, they didn't crush all of them. Take that back. They hit a lot of balls hard. But anything we left over the middle of the plate, they hit hard. I felt like we had some pitches over the middle of the plate that we just missed. Some of them we missed, and they were, you know, 390-foot outs. But the point is we just missed them. And I think that's what Dave's referring to right there is, you know, sometimes you got to just take what the pitcher gives you. Not that we're up there. It doesn't look like we're up there swinging for the fence. I mean, every once in a while, yeah, we're cutting it loose and we'll swing and miss. But, you know, I think we're just missing when we get our pitch. Florida didn't miss yesterday. I mean, when we made a mistake, they barreled it.
Remember we talked last week about the Little Rock game and how impressive it was to shut out Little Rock using six pitchers. And I felt like yesterday was kind of the reverse of that. When you have to rely on so many pitchers, you have to rely on the fact that they are all going to be on, or at least most of them. And it felt like hardly anybody that they pitched yesterday was really on. I mean, you look at the strike to pitch count, just in terms of, you know, how many strikes they threw relative to the number of pitches they threw. Beidle is 20 of 32 for strikes. Bibee, 22 of 40. Gibbler, 17 of 27. Wiggins, obviously, that's a little bit different. We'll talk about that in a second. Will McIntyre, 9 of 17. Carter, 20 of 35. McGuire, he did throw strikes on both of the pitches that he threw. But, you know, and that's why it's so important for these starters to go deep into games. They knew it was going to be a tough weekend on their bullpen anyway.
Right.
Because I think Gage Wood went an inning longer than they ever dreamed he would have gone. But still, it was a long weekend because Root doesn't go long. Obviously, Wood scheduled not to go very far into the game, and then Beidelsees didn't get him very far at all. Just they've got to, and this has been kind of a trend you've seen for 3-4 weeks now, where they're just not getting a lot of length out of their starters, and that is they've got to figure out a way to change that. It feels a little bit like what we were seeing last year with Tigert and Mason Molina not going deep into games.
Yeah, you're right. The only difference in last year, we had Hagen on Friday night.
Reliable.
Giving us, yeah, seven innings. Six, seven get innings every Friday. But you're right. It's tough. Your Friday night starter goes 4 1/3. I mean, then right off the bat, I mean, you're using your bullpen guys. And it just kind of carries on. I'm worried about taxing our bullpen too mm-hmm. much. Now, the good thing is like I referred to, hopefully we get Dietz back, you know, Parker Coyle, and then we're going to have to replace a big piece of that, Wiggins. You know, having Wiggins in there. But on the bright side, Fauch has looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
He really has. He's looked good. So that's a good sign, having Fauch back. You know, it's just the bottom line is you got to have more innings out of your starters. You really do.
What are you seeing out of Root in particular? That's because it feels like he'll have a stretch where, like, even the first couple of innings against Florida, he looked really good.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, there's like this 30 pitch inning that just totally wrecks his outing because he gets his pitch count up too high.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's got. I mean, the thing is, he's got five pitches he can throw for a strike, and he's a guy that's frustrating to hit because he can throw any pitch at any count. The problem is if he leaves one up, it's going to get hit hard. Mm. I think he's got, five pretty good pitches. You know, he doesn't have that one wipeout pitch. You don't need it, though. He's just got to be able to hit his spots, and if he doesn't hit his spot, he gets hit. And but, you know, I still like Zach Root. I mean, I think, I think he's got a chance to keep getting outs for us. He just got to, you know, it's hard. It's easier said than done, but just, you know, try to avoid the mistakes and the unforced errors, like the pick. Mm. The pick just changed the whole feel of the game.
Mm-hmm.
It really did.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, well.
It changes the score, but then you lose Maxwell.
You lose Maxwell. That's what I was getting ready to say that. I mean, and I think you combine those two things together, you lose your right fielder on a play like that. I mean, that's tough to swallow. It's kind of like, it's like the play that you lost Souza on.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, well.
Doesn't have to happen.
The ball, usually any other field, that's a home run, and he's not on second. But still, you shouldn't go to second to third on that. You end up losing him. You can't just dwell on it. It's over. But you look at the pick play. You not only gave up the run, but you lost your right fielder. So that was a big gut punch, I think, to our team.
And then there's the just kind of the factors of the game right there. Number one, Florida may have as big of a foul ground as anywhere in the SEC. And then they're playing a no doubles defense, and so Maxwell is—he's a little ways away from where that ball was rolling. He had to cover a lot of ground to get there.
Right, and you know that sucks. But look at some of the positives, though. You know, I go back to, remember we talked about the frames of the camera on the in the Georgia series, the ball off the left field wall.
The eagle, what do they call it? The Hawkeye camera or the eagle eye?
Yeah, well, I said
some sort of bird.
So I compared that like the Zapruder film where. Davalon goes to play the ball off the wall. It takes four bounces instead of two. It didn't really come off high. Look at the ball down the line, the cutoff play to Vejeva.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was awesome. That's textbook right there. The ball's rolling. A lot of guys will grab it with their glove and transfer it. Davalon grabbed it with his bare hand, came up and made a throw. Vejeva put his body in position to short hop, make a perfect throw to play, perfect tag. Things like that pump me up because those are plays that are executed perfectly. So, I mean, those things keep me excited.
And it was late in the game, and you think about how one game affects the other. I thought because they shut out Florida on Saturday that Florida might come out a little bit flat. They didn't have Colby Shelton, their outstanding infielder. And through two innings, like, okay, I feel like this is going the way. And then something just changed.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, and I'm not trying to make an excuse. It's just you notice when things go differently, you notice little things. Temperature in Florida this weekend, I think 90 for one game, 92, 94, 95 yesterday. The heat and humidity, when you haven't played in that, does that get into your legs a little bit?
I don't know. I'd like to say yeah, but I like hot weather. The hotter, the better. Every team I've ever coached, if it's going to be 95, I look at it. I look at my guys and say, guys, it's only 95 today. I wish it was 100 because it doesn't affect us. It affects them. Maybe it does because the first time we played in humidity.
Well, Florida's used to it because that's what they practice
right.
And they play. And I just, again, it's just a question. I don't know if that's a factor or not, but you played big-time baseball. I've not.
Yeah, I don't – you know – I loved hot weather. The hotter, the better. It didn't bother me. Some guys, I think it affects some guys. You know, it affects some pitchers, to be honest with you. It affects them a little bit more. Yeah, maybe it did have an effect. But I know we did have some warm days last week. Of course, it's not Florida, heat. That Florida heat with the humidity and all that, it's different. So maybe that had an effect, but yeah, I don't know.
So I was listening to Dave Van Horn on the pregame show yesterday. He said with Gage Wood, you know, he was asked by Phil, what are your future plans for him in terms of how long you can extend him now? I think they want him to go max 45 this week. And so Van Horn said, you know, maybe 50 or maybe a little bit more. So, you know, we'll say 50 to 60 this week. And then he said after that, with it warming up, he said as long as he's not feeling any pain, you may just let him go after that. So probably one more somewhat short start this week against Texas, and then we'll see after that. But I thought that was probably the most encouraging thing that came out of the weekend, because when you're having struggles in your rotation – here's this guy who, you know, I mean, if he could throw another three innings like the first three he threw, who knows how this series goes?
Yeah, you're right. But now with Gage Wood, he's a high-octane guy, high effort, max effort, every pitch. It's a little different him throwing, you know, 80, 90 pitches versus Zach Root, you know, smooth, under control. I tell you what, he did look really good. But stretch him out a couple more innings, and once again – You go back, and I say it all the time, it's about getting 27 outs. Mm. But you want to get – when you get a chance – like look at Saturday. Saturday, we had a chance to get a win. We win, and we got the win because we knew we had it right there. We went with Jimenez and got the win. But, you know, if Zach Roof gets us another inning and a third, two innings on Friday – then we've got Carter or Fauch, either one, to bring in on Saturday. It's so crazy how every game affects the next game. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's why it's tough being a head coach. And, you know, DVH, Hobbs, and Thompson, they got their work cut out for them, because you kind of have to look ahead. But when you get a chance to get a win in the SEC, I think you got to take it. And we said going in, Matt, that we knew we were playing a Florida team that was playing well. I mean, we were catching them at the wrong time, just like we caught A&M at the wrong time, mm-hmm. you know, last weekend.
Okay, so one thing before we hit our first break. Arkansas has been so good in the regular season the last several years. I mean, name a regular season they weren't very good.
Yeah.
16?
It's been a long time.
I mean, really? I mean, because they've been a regional host every year except for 22, and it looked like they were going to be a regional host that year. Up until the last weekend or two of the season, you and I have talked about this. It seems like there's not an appreciation for being good in the regular season. Like, nobody cares if you were the number three national seed or the number five national seed or the SEC West champion. They're looking at, well, what did you do the regional weekend? Did you get to Omaha? You know, like, and I'm not saying everybody's like that. I think there are a number of people who go to the games and they do appreciate the, you know, the intricacies and all the minutiae of the regular season. But I think there's a lot of people on the whole who are just like, what'd you do at the end?
Yeah.
And so balance that for me. I mean, because now you see a team that may not be having, and it's not like they're bad in the regular season. I mean, they're 14-7 in the SEC. They're, what is their record right now? 37-9, I think, overall. So, I mean, this isn't, you know, this is just a little bump in the road. That may be a bigger bump after a few weeks. We'll see. But it's all about getting ready for the end of the year, and so I don't know. I don't know what the panic level should be about this bump in the road in the regular season. If you think you've got a good team that's got a potential to win in the postseason, and what's been the argument against Arkansas the last few years has been offense, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they got a lineup that, you know, if they get two or three guys going even at one, you know, one weekend, all of a sudden they're going to be an awfully tough team to beat.
Well, we're still leading SEC in hitting. Out of 16 teams, we're still in second place. We're tied with LSU for second place in the SEC.
I would like to see the SEC standings if you took Missouri off of everybody's statistics. You know what I mean?
I'd like to see it if we went back to just two divisions.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like
it's
to
unbalanced.
See it. Yeah, it sucks. I mean, it absolutely sucks. But, I mean, it is what it is. You can't control it. The word panic never comes in my mind. I never think that. I'm fine. But here's what gets me, Matt, and you've heard me say it multiple times. You and I talk about it all the time. I get so mad at the event, like the end of last year. I don't know how many people say, "Oh, another disappointing year for the Razorbacks," and you know they're texting me or they're. I see them in person out at tournaments during the summer. I'm like, "Whoa, we won the SEC. Y'all get that right? We've won the SEC West 5 out of 6 years. It's not another bad year. It's a great freaking year." Almost messed up there.
We got a bleep button.
Okay, good. We almost had to use it because I get so fired up about it. And people don't get it. I shouldn't say people. A lot of fans don't get it. All they care about is that last weekend of the year. Mm-hmm. But to do what this program's done the last – I came on in 18, and it's been domination since 18.
No team's won more games during that time.
Exactly. And I just think it's short-sighted on people. And I think maybe DVH sees that now, and he's like, look, you know, I think we could have – We could have done things a little bit different and won that series this weekend, but we might have got someone hurt. It's not worth it. Let's just keep going. It's a process. It's a marathon, not a sprint. It's not where you start, it's where you finish. Let's just keep going in the right direction. All the cliches you want to say. What happened? As long as this team peaks towards the end of the year, which I think is going to happen, I think they're a dangerous team. I'm good with it. Sorry, that was a very long-winded answer. I felt like I had to get that off my chest, though.
Well, you and I were talking the other day. It reminds me a little bit of the Atlanta Braves in the 90s. Now, I know they won their one World Series, but that was always the knock on them. It's like, hey, they're a great regular season team, but you know they don't win at the very end. Does that really make them any less of a franchise or a program? I never felt like it did.
Well, Waller shouldn't have thrown Leyrich a two-strike forkball, a splitty. And he should have gone with his slider. But we can talk about that another day. He got beat by his third-best pitch.
Which year are we talking about? They all kind of run together.
I don't know. It was in the 90s sometime. All I know is Leyrich came in and hit a big three-run homer to win the game. So,
all right. When we come back, we got a lot more to go. We'll talk about these injuries for Carson Wiggins, Logan Maxwell. What's the level of concern there? Look a little bit ahead to Missouri State this week. Also, Texas coming in here. A look around the SEC. But first, a word from Kendall King.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over 4 decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are Design.
Hey, welcome back. I want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971. Committed, professional, versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at BentonvilleGlass.com. I want to tell you, too, you can get the latest breaking news on all Razorback sports at WholeHogSports.com. Most in-depth source for all Razorback sports with analysis, latest in recruiting, unique stories on all your favorite teams. Subscribe today at WholeHogSports.com. Hope you'll subscribe to our podcast. You can find us on Apple by searching Whole Hog Sports, or you can find our YouTube Whole Hog Sports video page and subscribe there. Bubba's in studio each Monday and Thursday during baseball season. Carson Wiggins goes out yesterday. What's the level of concern here?
Big concern. It's never a good sign, you know, when it's in the elbow area, if you feel a pop, or it's just not a good sign, unfortunately. But look, Matt, I mean, everyone can start blaming and pointing fingers and all that. It's when you throw that hard, mm-hmm. it's not if there's going to be injury, it's when.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it is, and it's no one's fault. It's not his Pee-wee coach's fault. It's not Hobbs's fault. It's just guys throwing super hard, and there's certain parts of the body that have a hard time handling that torque, and at some point, it's gonna break. It's just going to break down on you.
And just to be clear, we don't know exactly what's happened with him yet. I think they'll probably have an MRI today That'll tell them a little bit more about what's going on with the elbow. But even if it's not something that's torn, this late in the season, it does not look good that he would probably pitch much, if at all, again, because you got to baby that thing.
Yeah, once that happens in the elbow, and you know, let's pray it's not the worst case scenario. I mean, but a lot of times you kind of lean that direction with just because it is what it is in that area. But you're right. Even if it's just like a Brady Tiger where he felt something in there, doesn't look good. And I don't expect him to be back this year. But who knows? It could be it could be something different. You never know. And I like to be as optimistic as possible. But I'm a realist, and honestly, I'm not thinking we'll see him again this year.
People might ask, okay, if it's when with a pitcher, why would any of them go out there and do that? But, you know, it's kind of similar to, and I haven't since my last wreck, but I'll ride bicycles a lot. And that's what I always heard is like, it's not if, it's when. And I've had two pretty bad accidents in the last 5 years. And one, I got right back on. The second one, I got hit by a car. And it's like, okay, that's maybe a little bit more gun shy to get on a bicycle. But it's one of those deals. Like, if you love it and it's something you enjoy and just kind of, I don't know, it's just, you don't look at it with the risk, I guess.
No, you don't. You're not going to live in a bubble. You can get hurt doing anything.
That's right.
You could fall down going down the stairs here. But, you know, I had a motorcycle for years. I had a Honda Valkyrie, by the way. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. Rode all the time. My wife and I would go ride. My brother was a paramedic, and he's telling me all the time, look, it's not if you're going to wreck, it's when you're going to wreck. It's sometimes it's going to happen. One time I'm going around a corner, this lady's coming, she's looking down, she runs me off the road. I've got about an inch of pavement. I'm going to have to go over the bluff, and she swerved the car at the last minute, drove back to the house, got off of it, never got on it again, sold it. But, you know, I mean, that's totally different. I have no idea. It has nothing to do with a pitcher on the mound. But anyway, so I just bored you. I just wasted 30 seconds of your life. But, no, it's you're going to go out there and do it because that's what baseball players do. I mean, look, you can get hurt. I mean, look at Souza sliding into the base. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a slide that a lot of guys get hurt. Look around the SEC. Look how many guys have hurt shoulders right now. Most of them are from sliding. I mean, you don't quit sliding. You know, you put on your oven mitt and you slide. I mean, it's just part of it. Now, I don't like turf fields because I think turf fields causes you to slide in faster and you misjudge the slide. There's more pressure to hold onto the base. And, you know, but when you're a pitcher, you go out there and you strap it on and you do it. And look, some guys pitch forever. Look at a guy like a Nolan Ryan. Mm-hmm. He threw the ball every day. And he pitched 100-something pitches every time out, never got hurt until right at the end of his career.
Even when he was a Rangers executive, he went out and threw a first pitch off the mound.
Yeah.
He's like 60-something years old, and he's still pumping 90.
I guess I shouldn't say it's not if, it's when. There's guys that don't get hurt. But
it's,
look, it's
rare.
It's a different game today. I mean, you look at Greg Maddux. He could have thrown 95. He pitched at 90. He pitched at 87 to 90. And he pitched for a long time. Now everything is max effort.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no guys that go out and can throw 95 that don't throw 95. They don't pitch at 90. It's just the game's different today.
Okay, so you were talking about you can get hurt doing anything. How about what's going on with Hunter Dietz right now? They thought they were going to – you and I, we found this out on – because we were speculating why did he not throw last Wednesday. And then we found this out about, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes after we finished recording. He's warming up. You know, stretching, and he's pulling a resistance band that's mounted to the wall. It snaps and hits him above the eye and causes 10 stitches. I suspect we'll see him before the regular season ends, but, you know, another setback for him after a year of, you know, trying to get back onto the mound. You're literally minutes away from it, and then this happens.
Okay, so in that game, I'm on the edge of my seat because I told Phil and I said on the air, I can't wait to see Hunter Dietz pitch. Mm-hmm. So I'm seeing guys get up, and I'm like, okay, where's Hunter? And I found out later what had happened. But, I mean, let's look at the bright side, at least in his eye.
I know.
If that hits his eye, I mean, who knows?
Ashley and I, when we bought our first house, we were moving, and I had a friend who was helping us, big guy, like 6'6", used to be a college quarterback. and we're using bungee cords to strap stuff down. One of those came loose, hit him right underneath the eye, knocked him flat on his, you know what. And I mean, those things are dangerous, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fluke thing that it's probably the first time it's happened since that the hunt center's been built. But it, you know, you can't control stuff like that. It's just bad luck, and I feel bad for him because I know he's working real hard to get back, and I bet you he was so excited to get in the game, and something like that happens. But just be glad you didn't hit him in the eye. I mean, that's all I can say. It could have been a whole lot worse.
Well,
hopefully we'll see him Tuesday night.
Well, I was going to say, I guess the good news for him is that, you know, a cut above the eyebrow is probably not going to affect your arm action.
Yeah.
It feels like that's – or the sound, from the sound of it, it's been pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, think about that. When you stand on the mound like this right here and you got this big, giant stitches above your eye, I bet you look pretty mean on the mound.
Yeah. Pull that hat bill up a little bit so the batters can see it when you're pitching. We don't know if we're going to see Parker Coyle this weekend or the LSU weekend or the Tennessee weekend, but that's certainly something to watch this week. And then obviously Logan Maxwell. Again, you go from a 340 hitter in your three hole down to a 170 hitter, and it changes things about your lineup during the Florida series. I don't know if Arkansas would have won the series with him playing, but you know, that's a big bat that goes out of the lineup.
I think so. When you lose a three-hole hitter, lefty, they had a lot of power right-handed arms that Maxwell hits well. That's tough. And you know what? I had a chronic left hamstring problem for years. I had to miss an All-Star game for it. It bothered me all the time. We had chiropractors in there, but I never went to a chiropractor in our clubhouse. They were there every day. I never went to them. Finally went to a chiropractor in our clubhouse, and I had one leg about a half inch longer than the other leg, so I was having to compensate with my left hamstring. Now, I'm pretty sure if that was the case, they would have caught it. But what they did, they got my hips back in line, hamstring problem went away. Crazy.
Here's a trivia question for you. Logan Maxwell, who was the coach that he committed to first in college?
Dave. No. Who?
Jim Sosnagle. Sosnagle was the head coach at TCU,
and
Maxwell
right.
committed there.
So, I thought you were talking before that. I thought he committed before he went there, but yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I mean, he's going to be back in the lineup just because he's a competitor, but you know, there's probably a little bit of an extra this week with Sosnagle bringing Texas in here.
Yeah, I think so. If he can play, he'll definitely be out there, and, you know, I don't know. I haven't gotten any updates on it, but Hopefully it'll be good to go. Hamstring's a crazy thing, though, man. Once that thing starts barking, it's hard to get it back in line.
Hey, speaking of TCU, just a quick little aside. And you were talking about your chiropractor. You know, sometimes Bobby Pritchett, who's the chiropractor for the baseball team, and he's got a practice here in town. He'll go on the road with them sometimes, not all the time. And but, you know, you think about, like, all the different kind of doctors that you might need for baseball. How about what happened to TCU this weekend? They had a player who lost a tooth during their game, and there just happened to be an oral surgeon in the crowd, and he underwent some sort of oral surgery, like, on game day. The weirdest thing.
Didn't know that. That's crazy.
So, I mean, like what team's going to start taking an oral surgeon with them on the road?
Okay, I hate to be a topper, but did you see the 10-year-old kid that got hit in the face with a pitch?
No, I did not.
Spit his tooth out, threw his bat down, and ran to first. I'm like, I want that kid on my team. I want to find out who that kid was. The kid's a freaking beast. Hit him right in the face, and he spit his tooth out and ran to first base.
Did he go back and get it so the tooth fairy could bring him
something? No, the umpire got the tooth, picked it up, and took it over to his coach.
Get that thing anyway, in a baggie and put it underneath the pillow.
We need to talk to DVH. We need to sign that kid in a few years. What would he be? He's 10 now. He'd be a 20. Yeah, I don't know. You're better at math.
Little ways away.
Yeah, you're Rain Man.
They need Maxwell back in the lineup, though. Yeah. It changes. No different than – well, anyway, it changes the lineup when Maxwell's not in there.
Oh, absolutely. And I like Carson Bowles. I've always been in on Carson Bowles. I say all the time, you know, you can tell a lot about a guy, the way he takes pitches. Boy, he takes pitches the right way. He can hit the off fields. But man, there's just something about having Maxwell in that three hole, can hit the off fields.
And he works the count.
He
almost every time it feels like he goes to the bat, it's going to be a 3-2 count.
Yeah.
Unless he sees something early that he likes.
And think about this team. When we're going the best, we're getting that starting pitcher out of the game early because we're working the count. We're swinging on our terms. I say all the time, first two strikes are yours, third strikes are the team. We do a great job early in the count of getting our pitch. If we don't like it, we take it. And we get that pitch count up, and I think that's something that we need to stay with.
Missouri State tomorrow night up there in Springfield. You know Arkansas wants to get some payback. I don't know they're going to get a chance. Have you seen the weather?
Yeah, it doesn't look good.
Doesn't look great. And so I wonder, you know, I think that teams at the end of the year, you can see a lot of growth once the midweek games go away because you get more practice time. Obviously, your pitchers are getting more rest in between their outings if they're just throwing from weekend to weekend. How do you think this change, whether or not the Missouri State game gets played this week or not, just the next 2 weeks, we know there's not going to be a midweek game between the SEC series. How much do you think that helps the team?
Normally, I like the midweek game because I think it gives guys a chance to get some innings that don't get a lot of innings on the weekend. I think a rainout tomorrow wouldn't be a bad thing. As much as I'd love to go up there and beat down on them, I feel like we owe them.
Especially with a Thursday start.
With a Thursday start, we threw a lot of pitches this weekend. A rainout wouldn't be a bad thing tomorrow. I would kind of welcome that. But you know, to answer your question about next week and the week before, the thing is when you have those Thursday starts, that's when that Tuesday game's tough. Especially we threw a whole lot of pitches out of the bullpen this weekend, and so I'd rather get rained out tomorrow.
We'll see. You just pay attention to like the high school schedules around here. I've seen a lot of teams that are scheduling doubleheaders for today in anticipation that they're not going to be able to play tomorrow. And it's one of those deals where, you know, sometimes the long range forecast can be wrong, but it's been showing for like 6 or 7 days now that Tuesday is going to be, and it's not just rain, it's heavy, heavy rain that they're talking about we're going to get over the next few days. So we'll see what happens there. As of right now, they're scheduled to play at 6 o'clock on Tuesday.
I hate to be a pessimist, but do you remember last week it said Saturday, 100% chance of rain all week, 100% chance of rain.
I know.
We played two on Friday. Uh-huh. It doesn't rain at all on Saturday. I'm out there fishing.
So. Well, then Sunday, I'm sitting in my house, and I'm like, man, that wind looks really strong out there. Turns out there's a tornado like a mile up the road that never gets warned. So the forecasters are not always right. It knocked off a bunch of roofs not far from our house. Yeah, we'll see if Missouri State, if they can play this game. I don't know that it's the worst thing in the world that they don't play this game right now, especially they played two midweek games last week against Little Rock, too.
Yeah.
And I think that had a little bit of an effect on the bullpen and maybe just how fresh they were. Texas comes in here this weekend. There's only been two other teams in the history of the SEC that have started conference play as well as Texas has. They're 19-2 in conference play. One of them was Tennessee that year that they were – you know, they barely lost. And the other one, I think, was Vanderbilt in 13. Kind of interesting. Neither of those teams made the World Series. But Texas, I will say this about Texas. They look really good on the mound. I don't know what they've got from a hitting perspective, but on the mound, they're one of the best teams in the country. But they have not had to play away from home against a good team, Bubba. They played at Mississippi State. They played at Missouri. And they played at Kentucky, and they nearly lost the Kentucky series. I think that when you have Arkansas with their backs against the wall this week, a Texas team that's probably riding pretty high because everybody's telling them, you know, how good they are, wouldn't surprise me at all if you see Arkansas bounce back this week. I don't know if it's going to happen, but it just wouldn't surprise me.
Well, I think we need to teach our players to hate Texas before this weekend. I think a lot of the younger guys don't understand what Texas is all about, so the hatred that we have towards the Longhorns. But
if they went to the football game last fall, they might know. You know, and people have said this for a while about baseball players. And whether or not, remember Matt Cronin when he beat him in the midweek, threw the horns down?
Yeah.
You remember Heston Kerstad
tackling the
guy at first base in Omaha? I think they've got an appreciation for it.
I think back then we had Shaddy. I think Shaddy was really good at telling the guys that, hey, you're supposed to hate these guys. But maybe they don't need that. But
apparently,
the Texas
– I was just going to say one thing. Apparently, Max, they've got this guy that sits out in the outfield. Christina Long wrote a story about this, and I guess it's two outs. And, you know, two outs, usually you do this to signify there's two outs. And if there's two outs, he yells horns down. And apparently Maxwell really, like, put some emphasis on it. He played him when he was at TCU.
That's awesome. Another reason to love Maxwell.
Yeah.
What I was going to say about Texas, they remind me a lot of a few of our teams in the past where they're really strong pitching-wise, and but hitting-wise, you know, the numbers aren't quite there. Mm. But I think they're playing with a lot of confidence right now, and that goes a long way. But they, you know, three games against A&M, they could have lost all three of those games. They found a way to win. That's what good teams do. And so I think we'll really get a feel for how good they are this weekend. I feel really good, Matt, about them coming into Baum Walker. I think we're going to do well against them. I think our hitters match up well. They got a couple dudes out of the pen, though. They've been riding really hard. They got a freshman lefty, those little knuckle curve, those that probably 85% of the time. It's a pretty good pitch. I just think we're going to do well against them.
Listen to this real quick. Texas hasn't lost a series. Everybody else in the SEC, listen to how many series they've lost right now. LSU, 2. Georgia, 2. Arkansas and Tennessee have both lost 3. Those are kind of the five teams that everybody think is in the upper tier of the conference. Then you've got Auburn with 2, Ole Miss with 3, Oklahoma with 3, Vanderbilt with 4, Alabama with 4. And I would throw A&M and Florida in this mix too because of what they've done recently. Both of them have lost 4 series apiece. People don't like to hear this, but in the SEC, anybody can beat anybody, it feels like, on any given weekend unless you're playing Missouri.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I was getting ready to pull up the – do you have the rankings there?
The standings or the rankings?
The standings, sorry.
Yeah, I've got them right over here. Go ahead.
I was just going to say,
Texas is quite a bit ahead. They're 19-2. I think the next closest, Arkansas and LSU were the next closest at 14-7 apiece.
So my whole point about this, the way this new system's set up with the 16 teams, don't get me going again, you go all the way down. You look at Georgia down here in, what are they in, 8th place? 9th place. Auburn's playing really well. Oklahoma's got talent. Kentucky. I mean, look how far Florida is down there. Florida could win a national championship, but look where they are in the standings.
Well, you also get a little bit of a discrepancy in how the schedule goes, and Texas got a massive, massive scheduling break this year. Listen to the teams they got at home. They got LSU at home. They got Georgia at home. They got Auburn at home. They got Texas A&M at home, and they got Florida at home. Yeah. Arkansas is easily the hardest place they got to go after they go here. They go to OU, who's been pretty good but up and down this year. But like I mentioned, their three series to this point in time on the road have been Kentucky, Missouri, and Mississippi State.
Wow.
So we'll see. But I think they're a good team. I just don't think that they have not been road challenged yet.
But – look at – no, and I agree. And the I guess the computer supposedly spits out the schedule every year. Our schedule is the toughest. I mean, we got the short end of the stick, but I think that makes us better when it comes to postseason. I'd rather play these teams now. It'll make us better. Look at A&M, though. They're, what, 13th out of 16 teams? Am I looking at that right, or 12th? It doesn't matter.
They're down there.
They're down there, and you got Florida right in front of them. I mean – those teams could win a national championship. That's what's crazy about the SEC. People don't get how hard it is.
Well, it was Florida last year. I think they were 13th in the league, 12th or 13th, something like that.
Yeah.
They were a win away from winning the national title. So you just never know. It's all about playing your best at the end of the year, not necessarily about playing your best now. And I think teams that are going through struggles right now are going to be better off maybe than the teams who everything looks real fine and dandy. We'll see. Bubba, appreciate you being here.
Yep.
Bubba will be back in studio on Thursday. We'll have another podcast tomorrow. Hope we see you at our website, wholehogsports.com. Until then, have a great day, everybody.